it's something that we all experience, and it is important to acknowledge mum guilt as a thing, but then to step back and sort of reassess the situation from a different perspective, that we will miss events, but we're not missing all events. You know, you have to sort of regain the perspective.
Hello and welcome to the Medical Women Podcast, the podcast from the Medical Women's Federation, the largest body of women doctors in the UK. I'm Dr. Nuthana Bayankaram. I'm the Vice President of MWF, and I have the honour and joy of being your host, as each week we hear from wonderful guests to help you feel more empowered and confident on your medical career journey. Hello, everybody. I hope that you're all having a lovely week. Welcome back to the Medical Women Podcast. This week, this Sunday, it is Mother's Day in the UK. And as you might know, I do quite like to keep the podcast topical. So we are going to be talking about motherhood this week. Now, I know that this, you know, won't affect all of our listeners. Our listeners range from medical students all the way up to retired doctors. But even if we're not mothers ourselves, we work with colleagues who might be mothers or have friends who are mothers. So I think this is a really important episode that's applicable to everybody. It's really interesting, when I started, you know, thinking about the podcast, the reason that I really wanted to start the Medical Women Podcast was because I really enjoyed listening to podcasts, and I couldn't find any podcasts that aimed to support and empower medical women in their careers. And I thought, well, this is ridiculous. This podcast should exist. And if nobody else is going to start it, then I guess I will make the podcast that I want to listen to. And what has been really nice is, since we started last February, there's been several other podcasts that are to do with women in medicine, which is great. So there's now several podcasts that exist to support women in medicine, and so medical women have a range of different podcasts that they can listen to that are helpful. And one of those new podcasts is a podcast called the Mothers in Medicine Podcast, which is run by Dr. Scholler and Anna Riggs, and they are our guests on the podcast this week. So Scholler and Anna share with us how they came together to start their podcast, and what they've learned from the various guests that were on there. And one of the guests who they mentioned quite frequently, the episode that they mentioned, was the episode with Professor Scarlett McNally, who is our president-elect at the Medical Women's Federation. And as somebody who knows Scarlett quite well and gets to work with Scarlett quite closely, she always says things that are very wise and very, very helpful. So I completely agree, and I'm not at all surprised that they kept mentioning Scarlett's episode, and I will put a link to their podcast and her episode in the show notes. I hope that all of you, regardless of your motherhood status, find this a really important and helpful episode. As always, please do keep rating and reviewing the podcast, as it does help other people know that we exist. And a couple of announcements. Of course, this is the week of our MWF Spring Conference on Friday, which will be held virtually, and it'll all be recorded. So if you can't make it in person, you can catch up. We've tried to make it as accessible and as affordable for everybody as possible. So if you are a doctor member, the tickets are £20. If you're a non-member, it's £25. If you're a medical student member, the tickets are absolutely free, and it's just £5 to become a member of the Medical Women's Federation for the next couple of years. So I definitely recommend doing it by joining as a member rather than buying a medical student ticket, which is £10. And it's just been International Women's Day, and we've got a conference. So we are holding a raffle to raise money for the Turkey and Syria earthquake appeal. 80% of the proceeds from the raffle will be going towards the earthquake fund. So you can get tickets for just £5 from our website. Again, I will pop a link in the show notes. What's really important is that you need to buy the tickets before Friday, the 17th of March. So ticket sales will close for the raffle. Sales will close before the Friday, and then we will draw the raffle at the conference I say we. I'm not exactly sure how we're going to do it. I'm going to leave that to Katie and Danielle from the MWF office. They're going to magically use a wheel of some sort to pick out raffle tickets. We'll see what happens on the day. I'm sure it'll be fine. And there are some great prizes. We've got prizes from previous podcast guests. So there's careers coaching with Susie Edwards. There's a money mindset bundle from Dr. Nikki Ramsgill. There's a confidence pack from Harriet Whaley Cohen. We've got books. We've got vouchers. Very, very good prizes. So definitely, you know, the prizes are amazing and the money's going towards an extremely important cause. So thank you so much in advance for all of your kind donations and for helping us to raise money towards the earthquake appeal. I hope you really enjoy the podcast, and I hope to virtually see lots of you at the conference on Friday. I'll be doing my first kind of conference live podcast recording. So you'll have multiple episodes to listen to in future from the conference, but it'll be really nice to have lots of you joining us live on Friday. I will see you all then. And if you can't make it to the conference, you can either watch the recordings. Otherwise, I will see you back next week for the next episode of the podcast. Take care. Enjoy the episode. So it's wonderful to have with me today Dr. Shola Okuntade and Anna Riggs from the Mothers in Medicine podcast. Welcome, Shola and Anna. It's lovely to have you both here.
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, well, thank you very much for coming. Just for our listeners, in case they're not familiar with the podcast, it would be really helpful just to hear an introduction to both of you and what made you want to get involved with the podcast. So Shola, if you want to go first.
Yeah, so my name's Shola, and I host the Mothers in Medicine podcast. I'm a neurology doctor in the Northwest, and I'm also a mum. And I've got two children, so I've got a five-year-old and a three-year-old, and I'm also a wife, and it's all quite busy. I started the podcast basically based on my own experiences. I was someone that before becoming a mum, I was really kind of really determined, really focused, really into my work, just focused in on my work and not really many other aspects of life. And after becoming a mum, I was just really surprised by, well, how amazing it is, but also how challenging it is, sort of going back to work and trying to juggle life as a mother and a doctor. And so I started speaking to other friends and colleagues and realised that I wasn't the only person sort of struggling with that. And decided that, you know, that I started looking to find out if there was any sort of resources that might help in giving advice and tips, and didn't find a huge amount. And so that's where the idea of having the podcast came from. I wanted to sort of bring people together and have that opportunity to share stories and advice and tips about managing the juggle. So that's where the idea for the podcast came from.
And Anna, what was it that made you want to get involved with the podcast?
Well, Shola and I have a mutual friend, which is how we met. So we have this mutual friend, Sarah, who I think when Shola had this idea, she had this great idea for a podcast, but kind of maybe didn't know what to do with it. Like, how do you've got this idea, but how do you actually make, or, you know, how do you record audio, edit audio? How do you turn it into something that people can listen to and can connect people together? So she called on a mutual friend who is one of my friends too. So Sarah, I got a call from Sarah saying, I've got a friend who wants to make a podcast. Can you like give us some advice? So I was like, yeah, okay. So we had a chat, and you know, I remember saying to you, I can give you loads of advice, or I could just do it. Should we just do it? And we kind of just did it, didn't we? We just sort of said, let's just record one episode, see how it goes. And my background is in podcast production, so I kind of know how to do it, and I have the tools to do it. So Shola had the idea, and I had the tools, and it kind of became a really good team. Like I think our skills complement each other. So we just did one episode, and then we did another, and then we did another. And before we know it, we had like a whole series. And like looking back, I mean, you know, there were lots of there were lots of sort of moments where we had to kind of make decisions on, you know, how good do we want to make this? Do we want production music? Do we want, you know, branded artwork kind of thing? And we kind of made decisions on those. And I think what made me really want to do it was the idea. It's a really good idea. It's a podcast that explores what the challenges are being a working mum. Now, obviously, it's specific to medicine, but I'm not a doctor, and I can see that all these themes are completely universal to other, you know, careers too. So I just thought it was a great idea. That's basically why I got involved.
Wonderful. Well, it is a great idea. And I have to say, I'm not yet a mum, although I hope I will get to be one. And I really enjoyed listening to the episodes and kind of, I was telling Shalom, like making notes for future reference. Like, remember this and do this and think about this. So I think it's really helpful. It would be great to hear from both of you, kind of from the episodes that you've done so far. What are things that have, like themes that have come up, or things that have come up that you've thought were really helpful?
Well, I think we've covered so much in the first series. It was about answering some of those questions that I had. So, we've talked about what specialties might be conducive to work and family life. That was a kind of a question that I had when I was training, trying to decide what specialty to go in, whether some specialties might be better or some might be worse, or some might not allow me to balance work and family life. So discussing that work-life balance, mum guilt, imposter syndrome, like there's just so much that have come up. And it's really good because it's sort of people that have gone ahead, and maybe quite a few people have had older children. And so just hearing their experiences and hearing that it can be hard, it is challenging to juggle things, but you do get through it, and them sharing their advice. And I remember one bit of advice that came up again and again in the first series, which I really appreciated, was drop your standard. Because I thought it was a really strange thing to say, but to hear it and to have that permission, even from hearing, we've had a episode with Professor Scarlett McNally, and her saying drop your standard was really helpful. Because I think sometimes, like as a mum, you go into it thinking that you're going to do everything like you did before, or that you have all these ideals of what you want it to look like, and you know we want to be a perfect doctor, we want to give our patients like the best care, and we want our children to have these perfect meals, and you know, everything to be perfect. And sometimes, yes, we have to maintain a certain standard, but you know, it doesn't have to, it's not necessarily going to be those ideals that we initially thought of. Or so I really appreciated that being shared, and just letting go of mum guilt, I think, which we all kind of struggle with as mums, particularly when you're sort of missing events with kids, or you know, you're at work and you're getting called in the middle of ward rounds saying, you know, you need to pick your kid up. And that can be really hard as a doctor and as a mum as well.
Yeah, I found all of the women that we've spoken to so immensely inspiring. So again, I'm not a doctor, so I'm kind of learning so much, but these are women, everyone that we interviewed are women who, you know, we look up to. They have amazing careers, they're brilliant at what they do, they're really high up leaders of the medical field, and to hear them say drop your standards, you know, you can't, it's not possible to do it all. And one woman, I can't remember who it is, I don't know if you can remember, Shola, but she said that one of her children only eats fish fingers, and I was like, oh, that's so nice to hear, like my children's so fussy. It's okay, you know, it's okay. These are struggles that we all, even the top doctors, you know, we all struggle with it. And that was nice. One thing that did come up, I know, Sholly, you touched on this, but imposter syndrome, it came up again and again. In fact, I think it's mentioned in every single episode that we've done, pretty much, is imposter syndrome. And it's clearly a woman thing, isn't it? It's something that I don't think men really suffer from that much. But to hear these incredible women saying, yeah, I had imposter syndrome, it's hard, you know, that was really refreshing too. And then the advice, again, the thing that struck me was that advice of, you know, you're juggling balls in the air, and some are going to crash. You just have to make sure that you let the right ones crash and the important ones stay up. Yeah, just to hear these incredible women saying what we all need to hear, really, that it's really, really hard.
Yeah, I think that's what's really important about these podcasts is, and this is what I try to do on here as well, is have the conversations that we don't normally have. And it's, you know, imposter syndrome comes up so much on this podcast as well. And then you kind of just go, oh, okay, they're doing all this and they have that too. It's not just me. It's just so reassuring to know, because otherwise we don't always have these important conversations.
I think so, yeah.
So I think it is great. And I'm glad that you mentioned Scarlett, because she is, she's well known to our podcast. She's the president-elect of the Medical Women's Federation, and she's been on here, and she always has really helpful advice. And she always says, you know, that she tries to model that it's okay to be imperfect. And I've really like embraced that and tried to like do that myself and been like, yeah, I'm embracing being imperfect. But the more people that we see doing that and sharing that, it just brings so much relief. Like, oh, okay, it's not just me.
Yeah, I think definitely, because we spend all this time training to be, you know, whatever professional, you spend all this time training and gathering this knowledge, and no one really tells you how to do the other aspects. Mm. And I think also we're trained to be so professional. You're trained in your communication skills. You're trained to show up and, you know, do your job in the best way possible. And so sometimes you don't really hear what's going on behind all of that, that there's actually a backstory, that everyone's got a story, everyone's got struggles. It's not unusual. It's completely normal. And I think it's just really powerful to have people be so open and honest. And I think it allows others to do the same. And so I think it's really helpful that as women, we can take each other by the hand and sort of encourage each other in that way. And I think that's really what the podcast was about, building that community and sharing those stories that we don't share day to day necessarily in our workplaces, but can make a massive difference.
Yeah, I remember when we first spoke about this, Shola, I remember you saying something like, you know, you're at work and you see these other members of staff, and you know they've got kids, and they just kind of seem to, like, they look like they're acing it. They look like they're, you know, doing really well. And you're like, you were thinking, like, how do they do it? And then we've asked all these women how they do it. And the fact is that they're all struggling too. Like, none of us, you know, we're all mums. None of us are acing it. We're all, it's like this machine that could fall apart at any point. And the other thing that came up a lot was childcare. That's a massive issue. The childcare system in this country is just not really, it's not really working for us. It's really expensive. We had somebody, I can't remember who it was now. There was a woman who was, I think she was a union rep. Charlotte, do you remember? And she was talking about how she just wasn't making any money above the cost of childcare.
And it was Sarah, when she was training. Cancer, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, when, yeah, during training. And that's a real issue, isn't it? I mean, that's something that's going to hold back women. It you know, it doesn't really affect the men. It's the women that get held back by that. And it's not just the cost of it. Obviously, if you're a doctor and you've got shifts, it's like nurseries don't. In fact, one woman did give us this advice, which was pay for childcare and don't just pay the money, because it's an investment into your future. Yeah. Because if you don't pay it, you know, it, you've just got to suck it up, basically. Because it's what's going to get you your career later down the line. But childcare is a massive issue in this country.
Yeah, it is. And I'm not sure how we'll easily fix that, but we definitely need to do things about it. And I think there isn't, but the more of us that are talking about it, the more, you know, there's a lot of the population that are affected by this.
Yeah.
And if there are so many, like, particularly as you say, women out of work because of the cost of childcare, it's ridiculous for the economy as well. So yeah, hopefully we can get the government to do something about it. And I know there's no easy fix, but I'm sure there's something we can do to make things better.
Yeah.
And Shola, you spoke earlier about, you know, thinking about different specialties. So our listeners kind of range from medical students all the way up to retired doctors. So there will be quite a few medical students or early junior doctors listening who are probably thinking about this. So it'll be great to hear a bit more about like what you kind of learned from your own reflections and from the podcast episode that you did on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, when I started my training, I was always quite interested in neurology. That was my big interest. I wanted to be a neurologist from medical school. But I remember the thought of going through core medical training, and I thought of the rotors, the exams, doing MRCP paces, and I just thought, I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do all those sort of shifts and things, like how would I manage family life and that? And so I thought, oh, maybe doing general practice would be something that would fit in more with family life. And I heard a lot of people saying that, you know, I like surgery and I'm really passionate about surgery, but I think I'll do maybe general practice, or I'll do something that seems a lot easier, not that it is. And I think, you know, we know that general practice has its own pressures and things. And so I found that I started going down this other route, which I wasn't necessarily as passionate about because I was concerned about that. So in the end, I did end up going for neurology, and that was really based on me sitting down with a consultant who was a mum, and she was doing respiratory, and her looking through my CV and saying, what do you want to do? And I was like, oh, I want to do general practice. And she was like, are you sure you want to do general practice? This CV looks like the CV of someone that wants to do neurology. And I was like, yeah, I do want to do neurology, really. But the thing is, I just don't think I could get through the training with managing family life. But she really encouraged me, just go for your passion and everything else will sort of work out. You know, if you need to work part time, if you need to change your job plan, et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of went down that route. And I think that's kind of what our discussion was based around. In that particular episode, I was speaking to Dr. Sarah Birkhauser, who works in cardiology, which is a really male-dominated specialty. And I think it's sort of about 80% male-dominated. And I think what we concluded is that it's not, you can do any specialty, and it really is more dependent on, number one, that you're doing something that you're passionate about, and also the work environment that you work in. It's not necessarily going to be a specific specialty that's going to prevent you, but, you know, the support of your team, how you adapt your life and your lifestyle, which is going to make a particular specialty work for you or not. Of course, like recently they've had the whole like parents in surgery report that has come out, and which has highlighted the challenges that people have in surgery with managing family life and juggling work and life. So it is difficult. I think definitely it's something that people are thinking about more and more. It is challenging. It is challenging. I would say I would still conclude, you know, go for what you're passionate about and, you know, and adjust life as necessary. I think that's probably the key thing.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful to hear. I used to get at medical school, I used to have, you know, lots of people, particularly male doctors, kind of telling me, oh, well, you know, you'll probably want to do general practice because you're a woman, and so you'll probably want to go and have kids. And I was like, well, actually, I want to do pediatrics, which generally has more women than men in pediatrics anyway. But it is bad if we're kind of trying to pigeonhole people. And there's still, you know, we had some medical students write into the Medical Women's Federation recently who said that they were still experiencing this on medical school placements, that they're still being told, well, you're a woman, so you'll want to go and do general practice. And there's no reason why they can't do other specialties and make things work around them.
Yeah, I think it's, and it's important, not just for us that we're following our passions, but for the specialties themselves, that they have that diversity of males and females and people with different perspectives and mindsets. So, I hope people do go for what they want to do. That way there's no regrets.
From a patient's perspective as well, I think it's really important, like you say, that there is diversity in the teams that are, you know, if I go in for surgery, and it's just an all male white team. Like, I don't know. I think that's a problem. I think that's a real problem. You know, I think there's a lot to be said for getting more and more women into these professions. I'm very aware that I'm talking, you know, that I'm not a doctor and I'm talking about medicine. So I'm trying to kind of see it from a patient's perspective. But that's got to be right. Yeah, it's got to be a much healthier and better outcomes if there's more diversity in every area of medicine.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really helpful hearing the, you know, from like a patient perspective as well, because you're right. If somebody goes in and they're like, oh, all of these people look the same and they don't look like me, it is quite off-putting for patients. So that diversity is so important.
And then if it is off-putting for that patient, so putting myself in that situation, if I'm faced with a quite intimidating man who's come to talk to me about the surgery, that might be it might be a sort of female problem that I, you know, I'm much less likely to communicate with that person. Whereas if it's a woman who makes me feel, you know, a little bit more relaxed, and I don't know, I just think there's a communicate. I mean, there's probably all sorts of reasons why we need lots of, you know, an equal balance. But certainly one of those things is communication, I think, and feeling, you know, surgery shouldn't just be for posh white men, should it really? It should be for everyone. And the only reason I'm mentioning surgery is because Scarlett spoke about that as well. Mm. I think, didn't she? We did cover that. Mm. That was her. It's a brilliant episode. That if anyone wants to, you know, listen to one episode, that's a really good one to start with.
Yeah, we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. And you mentioned mum guilt came up quite a lot as well. Were there any like helpful tips that the guests had given for mum guilt? I don't even have children yet, but I already feel like I feel the mum guilt now.
I remember speaking, I think it was Professor Tamsin Ford, and we were talking about mum guilt. And I think that particular week I'd missed an event at my 5-year-old school, and he has a Mother's Day concert. I mean, can you think of anything that you'd rather go to? A Mother's Day concert at 5-year-old. And I missed it because I was on call. And so I was just talking to her about that. And also talking to her about those moments when, you know, you're at work and you're getting called and you're pulled away from work because a child is unwell and that sort of thing. And I remember her just saying, you know, think about what you would say to yourself what you would say to a friend. Think about what you would say to a friend, and it's probably a lot kinder than what you're thinking about yourself. And I think one of the other aspects is that it's something that we all experience, and it is important to acknowledge mum guilt as a thing, but then to step back and sort of reassess the situation from a sort of different perspective, that we will miss events, but we're not missing all events. You know, you have to sort of regain the perspective rather than sitting there and getting really down in a situation. And also, say, for example, if you do miss an event or that there's something that you feel really guilty about, you know, finding other opportunities to make up for it, or other opportunities to like spend with your children, you know, even if you do feel like, you're missing things, make other special moments. And I know we keep coming back to Professor Scarlett McNally, but, you know, she was saying about just having special days with, you know, maybe just having it's a special day with one child and just creating those memories. And it's so important, particularly if you feel like you're missing other bits.
And I, what I would add to that as well is, you're a doctor, which means, so you're a woman and you're a doctor, right? That means that you are an incredible role model for your children. So any guilt that you have because you've missed something, you know, or you didn't get home in time to put them to bed or whatever, just remember that you are an incredible role model for your child. They're going to grow up, you know, especially if you have girls. They're going to grow up being like, my mum's a doctor. Like, that's amazing. You know, I want my kids to understand why I'm not there a lot of the time, and the reason I'm not there is because I'm working. But But a lot of the time, if a child has two parents, what happens is they see daddy going to work, and it's usually the mum that is either, not always, but usually that is either part-time or does a few more pickups or whatever. So like, I know my kids are like, you know, they get that daddy works, but I don't think they really take my job seriously in a way.
Okay.
So like, but because I'm the one that, you know, I'm the one that kind of organizes all the childcare, and I'm the one that picks them up from after school club. So I think, you know, there is that thing as well that we need to blow our own trumpets a little bit more as women, I think. And we need to be able to say, look, what I'm doing is an amazing thing, and I am a really good role model for my child.
And Shola, did your 5-year-old, were they okay with you missing the concert? Did they mind?
I mean, I think
okay to ask.
No, I think in the moment they do tell you, oh mummy, you weren't there. And that's really hard to hear. But they do forget as well. and you have to help them to understand that, you know, yeah, I have to work sometimes and I will miss some things, but I'm not going to miss everything. And why don't we do something special? Why don't we book a date and do, you know, go out or do something fun? And they do forget at this age. And so it's not like he's rubbing it in. It's me that's still clinging on to the memory.
I was going to say, I bet in a few years, if you ask him, he'll be like, what Mother's Day concert? Whereas like, you will still remember, I think. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I'm now trying to think back on like, what did my parents come to everything that I was doing as a child, and did I mind? But I think, as you say, if you explain it to them, they kind of do understand, like, oh, okay, my mum's a doctor and she works and she's got patients to look after.
And I think I had a sort of similar moment of looking back and thinking, what do I remember about my childhood? Do I remember when my mum was at work, or do I just remember the feeling of being loved and having a family and those amazing moments of being together and doing something really special? I think I remember those moments more than I remember the kind of, oh, mum missed that school play, or, you know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We definitely beat ourselves up too much about these sorts of things as women.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. We need to be kinder to ourselves.
Absolutely. And embracing that we can't do everything at once. And as you said earlier, Anna, like, we've just got to let some of the balls drop and just make sure that the ones that you don't mind being dropped.
Yeah.
And I guess also it's that sometimes, you know, at some points it'll be like your child will have something really important coming up, like a concert or something else that's really important to them. And so that will take precedence over work. And then other times, if you've got like your ALCP coming up or an exam or something, your work will be taking precedence. But it's okay to kind of balance those things, and you can't have both of them being really important all the time.
Yeah, I think learning to prioritize and that shifts at every moment, and in different seasons that's going to look a bit different. There will be moments when, you know, you've got something really important at work, you've got a particular project or you've got exams, and you just really just need to focus. And so there might be a little bit less of, you know, the family time as much as you would have wanted. And then there are moments when, you know, your family really needs you, and you just you focus in there, and maybe you can't fulfill some of those other projects at work that you would have wanted to do. But you know that for this moment that it's time to focus in on your children. There'll be other times when you need to focus in on your relationship. And I think it's so important to just to create that balance and just continue to like reassess, and it allows you to set those boundaries in every season, and so that at the end of the day, you don't have any regrets. You can't do it all. You can do a lot, but you can't do it all. So you just need to continually just be making those adjustments, I think.
Oh, well, it's been lovely having both of you on the podcast, and thank you for starting the Mothers in Medicine podcast, because I think it's such an important podcast and it's absolutely great listen. So definitely we'll put a link in the show notes. As I said, I'm not even a mum yet and I've already started listening and like taking notes down for future reference. And thank you for coming and sharing the wisdom from the podcast with us as well.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. It's really lovely.
Thank you so much for listening to the Medical Women podcast. Make sure to subscribe for free on whichever podcast platform you listen on so that you automatically get our episodes. The aim of this podcast is to support and empower as many medical women in their careers as we possibly can. So please share this episode with at least one other medical woman. If you're interested in joining the Medical Women's Federation, we would love to have you, and all links to our website and social media are in the show notes. This podcast has been produced on behalf of the Medical Women's Federation by Dr. Nuthana Bayankaram and Miss Jenna McKenzie. Our music was composed and played by Dr. Kethaki Bayankaram. Thank you so much for listening.